The great sage Narada visits the different homes of Lord Krishna. When the great sage Narada heard that Lord Krishna had married 16,000 wives after he had killed the demon Narakasura, sometimes called Bhomasura, he was astonished that Lord Krishna had expanded himself into 16,000 forms and married these wives simultaneously in different palaces. Being inquisitive as to how Krishna was managing his household affairs with so many wives, Narada, desiring to see these pastimes, set out to visit Krishna's different homes. When Narada arrived in Dwarka, he saw gardens and parks full of various flowers of different colors, and also orchards overloaded with a variety of fruits. Beautiful birds were chirping and peacocks crowed delightfully. There were ponds full of blue and red lotus flowers, and some of these tanks were filled with varieties of lilies. The lakes were full of nice swans and cranes, and the voices of these birds resounded everywhere. In the city there were as many as 900,000 great palaces built of first-class marble, with gates and doors made of silver. The pillars of the houses and palaces were bedecked with jewels such as touchstones, sapphires, and emeralds, and the floors gave off a beautiful luster. The highways, lanes, streets, crossings, and marketplaces were all beautifully decorated. The whole city was full of residential homes, assembly houses, and temples, all of different architectural beauty. All of this made Dwarka a glowing city. The big avenues, crossings, lanes, and streets, and also the thresholds of every residential house were very clean. On both sides of every path there were bushes, and at regular intervals there were large trees that shaded the avenues so that the sunshine would not bother the passers-by. In this great and beautiful city of Dwarka, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had many residential quarters. The great kings and princes of the world used to visit these palaces just to worship him. The architectural plans were made personally by Vishwakarma, the engineer of the demigods, and in the construction of the palaces he exhibited all his talents and ingenuity. These residential quarters numbered more than 16,000, and a different queen of Lord Krishna resided in each of them. The great sage Narada entered one of these houses and saw that the pillars were made of coral and the ceilings were bedecked with jewels. The walls, as well as the arches between the pillars, glowed from the decorations of different kinds of sapphires. Throughout the palace were many canopies made by Vishwakarma that were decorated with strings of pearls. The chairs and other furniture were made of ivory and bedecked with gold and diamonds, and jeweled lamps dissipated the darkness within the palace. There was so much incense and fragrant gum burning that the scented fumes were coming out of the windows. The peacocks sitting on the steps became illusioned by the fumes, mistaking them from clouds, and began dancing jubilantly. There were many maidservants, all of whom were decorated with gold necklaces, bangles, and beautiful saris. There were also many menservants, nicely dressed in cloaks and turbans and jeweled earrings. Beautiful as they were, the servants were all engaged in different household duties. Narada saw that Lord Krishna was sitting with Rukmini Devi, the mistress of the particular palace, who was holding the handle of a chamara whisk. Even though there were many thousands of maidservants equally beautiful and qualified and of the same age, Rukmini Devi personally was engaged in fanning Lord Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worshipped even by Narada. Yet as soon as Krishna saw Narada enter the palace, he got down immediately from Rukmini's bedstead and stood up to honor him. Lord Krishna is the teacher of the whole world, and in order to instruct everyone how to respect a saintly person like Narada Muni, he bowed down, touching his helmet to the ground. Not only did Krishna bow down, but he also touched the feet of Narada, and with folded hands requested him to sit on his chair. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality, worshipped by all devotees. He is the most worshipable spiritual master of everyone. The Ganges water which emanates from his feet sanctifies the three worlds. All qualified Brahmins worship him, and therefore he is called Brahmanyadev. Brahmanya means one who fully possesses the remitful qualifications, which are said to be as follows: truthfulness, self-control, purity, mastery of the senses, simplicity, full knowledge by practical application, and engagement in devotional service. Lord Krishna possesses all these qualities, and he is worshipped by persons who themselves possess such qualities. There are thousands and millions of names of Lord Krishna, Vishnu Sahasranam, and all of them are given to him because of his transcendental qualities. Lord Krishna, in Dwarka, enjoyed the pastimes of a perfect human being. Therefore, When he washed the feet of the sage Narad and took the water on his head, Narad did not object, knowing well that the Lord did so to teach everyone how to respect saintly persons. The Supreme Personality of Krishna, who is the original Narayana and eternal friend of all living entities, thus worshipped the sage Narad according to Vedic regulated principles. Welcoming him with sweet, nectarian words, he addressed Narad as Bhagavan, or one who is self-sufficient, possessing all knowledge, renunciation, strength, fame, beauty, and other similar opulences. He particularly asked Narad, "What can I do in your service?" Narada replied, "My dear sir, this kind of behavior by your lordship is not at all astonishing, for you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Master of all species of living entities. You are the supreme friend of all living entities, but at the same time you are the supreme chastiser of the miscreants and the envious. I know that your lordship has descended to this earth for the proper maintenance of the whole universe. Your appearance, therefore, is not forced by any other agency. By your sweet will only, you agree to appear and disappear. It is my great fortune that I have been able to see your lotus feet today, and anyone who becomes attached to your lotus feet is elevated to the supreme position of neutrality and is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. My Lord, you are unlimited. There is no limit to your opulences. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are always busy placing you within their hearts and meditating upon you. The conditioned souls who have now been put into the blind well of material existence can get out of this eternal captivity only by accepting your lotus feet. Thus, you are the only shelter of all conditioned souls. My dear Lord, you have very kindly asked what you can do for me. In answer to this, I simply request that I may not forget your lotus feet at any time. I do not care where I may be, but I pray that I constantly be allowed to remember your lotus feet." By asking this benediction from the Lord, the sage Narad showed the ideal prayer of all pure devotees. A pure devotee never asks for any kind of material or spiritual benediction from the Lord. His only prayer is that he may not forget the lotus feet of the Lord in any condition of life. A pure devotee does not care whether he is put into heaven or hell. He is satisfied anywhere, provided he can constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya taught this same process of prayer in his Shikshashtakam, in which he clearly stated that all he wanted was devotional service birth after birth. A pure devotee does not even want to stop the repetition of birth and death. To a pure devotee, it does not matter whether he has to take birth again in the various species of life. His only ambition is that he not forget the lotus feet of the Lord in any condition of life. After departing from the palace of Rukmini, Naradaji wanted to see further activities of Lord Krishna's internal potency, Yogamaya. Thus he entered the palace of another queen. There he saw Lord Krishna engaged in playing chess with his dear wife, Anudava. The Lord immediately got up from his personal seat and invited Narada Muni to sit there. The Lord again worshipped him with as much paraphernalia for reception as he had used in the palace of Rukmini. After worshipping him properly, Lord Krishna acted as if he did not know what had happened in the palace of Rukmini. He therefore told Narada, "My dear sage, when your holiness comes here, you are full in yourself. Although we are householders and are always in need, you don't require anyone's help, for you are self-satisfied. Under the circumstances, what reception can we offer you, and what can we possibly give you? Since your holiness is a brahmana, it is our duty to offer you something, as far as possible. Therefore, I beg you to please order me. What can I do for you?" Narayaji knew everything about the pastimes of the Lord, so without further discussion, he simply left the palace silently, in great astonishment over the Lord's activities. He then entered another palace. This time Naradaji saw that the Lord was engaged as an affectionate father petting his small children. From there he entered another palace and saw Lord Krishna preparing to take his bath. In this way Saint Narad entered each and every one of the 16,000 residential palaces of the queens of Lord Krishna, and in each of them he found Krishna engaged in different ways. In one palace he found Krishna offering oblations to the sacrificial fire and performing the ritualistic ceremonies of the Vedas as enjoined for householders. In another palace, he found Krishna performing the Panchayagya sacrifice, which is compulsory for a householder. This yagya is also known as Panchashuna. Knowingly or unknowingly, everyone, especially the householder, commits five kinds of sinful activities. When we receive water from a pitcher, we kill many germs that are in it. Similarly, when we use a grinding machine or eat food, we kill many germs. When sweeping the floor or igniting the fire, we kill many germs. And when we walk on the street, we kill many ants and other insects. Consciously or unconsciously, in all our different activities, we are killing. Therefore, it is incumbent upon every householder to perform the Panchashuna sacrifice to rid himself of the reactions of such sinful activities. I'll continue tomorrow on Narada's visiting homes of Lord Krishna.